Part 1. Real Fundamental Origins. Chapter 1. Before any differentiation, before a structure can be observed, described, or understood, there is always a level that does not yet proceed from visible organization. This level cannot be grasped through functional categories alone, because it already precedes what functions will later attempt to make readable. In the corpus met, this first level can only be approached by immediately distinguishing what belongs to fundamental relation from what belongs to structure. This is why the term father remains first, not because it would designate a priority of power, but because it indicates relational origin before any formation appears. Father is not first a principle of organization. It designates that through which a reality may be recognized as proceeding from an origin that is not foreign to itself. Within this term lies the idea of a possible filiation, that is, a bond not produced by juxtaposition, but existing before any attempt at definition. When this relational level is not distinguished, every architecture easily becomes impersonal, because structure alone never suffices to account for what allows a being to recognize its origin without rupture. But relation alone does not suffice either. Very early, a second term becomes necessary: creator. Creator does not designate here a simple power of action. It indicates the level where origin becomes capable of organization. To create then means to order, to deploy, to maintain, to make active coherence possible. Where father designates relation, creator designates structure. One without the other would immediately produce an incomplete reading. Relation without structure becomes indeterminate. Structure without relation becomes external. This is why the expression father creator appears very early. This expression does not designate a third distinct reality. It designates the simultaneous unity of the first two. When relation already acts within structure, and when structure still remains traversed by relation, the proper term becomes father creator. At this level, origin is no longer only thought as provenance. It becomes intelligible as first coherence. But before this coherence can be read through its functions, another term becomes necessary: source. Source designates what still precedes distinctions. Source is not yet named relation. It is not yet readable organization. It designates what makes it possible for relation and structure to later exist. Source is prior to function. It does not cancel previous terms. It contains them at a level where differentiation is not yet expressed. From there, another necessity appears, that of the center. For an origin possessing no center would immediately become dispersion. Center therefore designates absolute stability, not a geographical place, not a position, but a point of coherence where nothing drifts. Center is what prevents origin from becoming abstraction. Source may be thought as absolute provenance, center as absolute stability. And when both are maintained together, the necessity of a more precise formulation appears. First source center. At this level, it is no longer possible to speak of origin without recognizing that it is already perfectly stable. First source center is not an addition of concepts. It designates indivisibility. This point is decisive for everything that follows in the book. As long as origin is poorly understood, everything that follows becomes approximation. For later developments never correct a poorly read origin. They only prolong its consequences. This is why the first requirement of the corpus met is not to multiply terms, but to stabilize perception upon what precedes every multiplication. Only from there may appear what we have named first expression. For any origin remaining totally closed to expression would remain inaccessible to every architecture. First expression therefore designates the first threshold where origin becomes readable without losing its unity. It is not yet deployment. It is not yet multiplicity. It is simply the first level where origin becomes perceptible. And as soon as this expression exists, another reality immediately appears: coordinated origin. For if several first dimensions already exist without contradiction, then one must recognize that they proceed from a coordination deeper than simple juxtaposition. Coordinated origin indicates that unity is not uniform, but perfectly harmonized. Then appears first differentiation, not as rupture, but as distinction without fracture. Functions then begin to become possible, and with them appears first architecture. That is to say, the first order where distinctions become active structure. Chapter 2. When origin becomes structured presence. When origin has ceased to be thought only as absolute provenance, another step becomes necessary, understanding how what proceeds from that origin becomes effectively present without losing its first coherence. As long as origin remains grasped only as principle, it remains external to every structured reading. Yet as soon as a first architecture appears, a new question arises. How does what proceeds from origin remain present within what begins to unfold? This is where what the corpus matre names first presence intervenes. First presence does not yet designate a function. It designates a level where origin maintains itself in an immediately perceptible manner without secondary mediation. It is not a presence produced by effect or consequence. It is a presence proceeding directly from the first level. This distinction is essential, for many errors appear when one confuses what is present by derivation, what is present by direct origin. First presence belongs to the second level. It signifies that origin is not only prior, it remains active without ceasing to be itself. But as soon as a presence is recognized, another question arises. Does this presence act? It is then that first function appears. A function becomes possible only from the moment a presence ceases to be merely observed and becomes oriented. First function designates this first stable role. It is not yet a complexity of functions. It is simply the first moment where something acts according to a readable orientation. This appearance of function does not destroy presence. It prolongs it. Presence and function must therefore never be artificially separated. In the corpus matre, a presence without function remains incompletely readable. A function without presence becomes abstract. When presence and function already exist, a new necessity then appears, that of their stable relation. This is where structured relation intervenes. Structured relation is not a simple link. It already supposes stability, continuity, compatible orientation. Two distinct levels may now exist without producing contradiction. This relation then becomes the first condition of a transmissible architecture. For a structure truly exists only when it can maintain several elements without internal rupture. But every stable relation requires an axis. Without axis, relation drifts. This is why the corpus matre next introduces the axis of continuity. The axis of continuity designates the invisible line preventing differentiated levels from losing their common coherence. It is not an imposed axis, it is a maintained direction. The axis guarantees that expansion does not alter origin. Without this axis, multiplication produces dispersion. With this axis, growth remains readable. At this stage, there finally appears what the corpus matre names level of maintenance. This term is decisive. For as long as a structure requires permanent correction, it has not yet reached its true threshold of stability. Level of maintenance designates the moment where a whole can endure without needing constant readjustment. This does not mean immobility. It means coherent durability. From there, the first major stabilizations become possible. For as soon as a level of maintenance exists, several relations may converge without collision. This is what prepares the relational center. A relational center does not create relations. It allows them to coexist. It becomes the point where several links may converge without overload. Then appears active structure. A structure becomes active when it no longer merely exists. It begins to carry functional continuity. A decisive threshold is then crossed. Structure ceases to be purely foundational. It becomes organized movement. But this movement cannot endure without first coherence. First coherence designates the first level where several distinct elements remain perfectly compatible. This coherence is indispensable, for without it, every expansion becomes contradiction. Then comes coordinated stabilization. Coordinated stabilization marks the moment where several already acquired stabilizations act together without internal friction. It is no longer only isolated equilibrium. It is stability capable of coordination. And when this coordination becomes durable, there finally appears initial durable order. This term closes the first sequence where origin is no longer only foundation. It becomes transmissible order. An initial durable order means architecture can now carry what follows. Chapter 3. When structure begins to carry its own continuity. When an initial durable order has been reached, a new stage becomes possible. Structure no longer only needs to be maintained. It begins to carry its own continuity. This passage is fundamental. As long as an architecture depends entirely on its point of origin in order to remain stable, it has not yet reached its first threshold of maturity. An internal capacity of maintenance must appear within it. This is where what the corpus matra names active central axis intervenes. The active central axis is no longer merely a passive axis of continuity. It acts. It becomes capable of supporting general coherence without visible external intervention. It does not replace origin. It prolongs its stability within already formed architecture. This axis becomes central because it no longer belongs to one single level. It supports several relations at the same time. From there, a direct consequence appears. Several presences may now remain together without durable contradiction. This is what durable coordinated presence designates. Durable coordinated presence is not simple coexistence. It supposes simultaneous stability, internal compatibility, absence of destructive tension. Several presences may exist within one same architecture because a central axis already maintains them within one common orientation. But the more a structure receives presences, the more another requirement becomes unavoidable, that of maintenance of cohesion. Cohesion does not consist merely in preventing separation. It designates the capacity of a whole to remain unified even while distinctions multiply. This point becomes decisive, for without cohesion, every growth quickly transforms order into dispersion. Maintenance of cohesion is therefore more than equilibrium. It is a silent activity of preserving unity. When this cohesion is sufficiently stable, architecture may then cross a new threshold, that of initial stable deployment. To deploy here means to extend without rupture. Structure begins to produce more than itself. But this extension becomes possible only provided that initial coherence remains readable. Initial stable deployment therefore marks the first moment where expansion becomes compatible with stability. This expansion naturally leads to another reality. Foundational continuity. Foundational continuity creates nothing new. It simply guarantees that everything appearing remains connected to what founded the whole. It is a principle of internal fidelity. Without foundational continuity, future developments become disordered autonomy. With it, each extension preserves a real link with the first level. But as soon as foundational continuity is in place, another threshold becomes necessary. That of the core of stability. The core of stability represents the internal point where architecture resists complexification. For the more a structure grows, the more it risks losing internal readability. The core prevents this drift. It acts as a non-negotiable center. Around it, wider functions may appear. This is what the corpus matra names higher coordinated function. This function no longer works in isolation. It already acts in relation with several stabilized levels. It does not simply add one more function, it links several existing functions within a higher order. From there, the center itself changes in scope. Then appears the expanded maintenance center. The center is no longer merely local, it now supports several zones simultaneously. But this expansion must not be understood as dilution. On the contrary, the more stable the center is, the more its field of action may extend. When several levels are maintained together, a new relation becomes possible, the higher order relation. This relation no longer links merely two elements. It articulates several hierarchized levels. It becomes an advanced structural relation. And when this relation stabilizes sufficiently, there finally appears the first durable matrix. The durable matrix designates the first field where several developments may emerge without altering the foundation. This is a decisive stage. Architecture is no longer merely stable, it becomes generative. Chapter 4. When structure becomes transmissible, When a first durable matrix exists, an architecture crosses a decisive threshold. It no longer merely remains stable in itself, it becomes capable of transmitting its coherence. This passage deeply changes the nature of deployment. For as long as a structure can exist only within its own immediate field, its reach remains limited. Stability alone is therefore not sufficient. A capacity of transmission must appear. This is where what the corpus mater names stable propagation axis intervenes. This axis designates the line by which coherence may be prolonged without alteration. To propagate does not mean to multiply indistinctly. It means to transmit without deforming. Every real propagation supposes that an axis remains intact. Without a stable axis, diffusion quickly produces drift. With a stable axis, what is prolonged preserves its deep identity. But an axis alone does not suffice. Continuity itself must become active. This is what operative continuity designates. Operative continuity is no longer merely a link between two states. It acts. It effectively maintains passage between several levels. In the corpus mater, this point is essential. Many structures seem continuous without truly being so, because their continuity remains theoretical. Operative continuity, on the contrary, produces real maintenance. This is why it becomes the silent condition of every durable transmission. When this continuity truly acts, presence itself changes scope. Then appears distributive presence. Distributive presence designates a presence capable of being active in several points without losing its unity. It is not fragmentation, it is coherent extension. One same coherence may now exist in several places without dividing itself. This possibility changes the whole architecture. Presence ceases to be localized, it becomes distributive. But as soon as a presence distributes itself, a new requirement arises. Coherence must be able to be received elsewhere without loss. This is what the corpus mater names transmissible coherence. Transmissible coherence is a coherence sufficiently stable to be carried by other levels. This point is decisive. What cannot be transmitted without deformation has not yet reached architectural maturity. Transmissible coherence therefore supposes readability, stability, internal fidelity. When this coherence exists, another stage becomes possible, the foundation of extension. A foundation of extension means that acquired base may now support new layers. Foundation no longer works only for its own stability, it becomes capable of carrying more. It is the first moment where architecture authorizes further development without immediate risk of rupture. But this extension immediately requires another reality, an active coherence field. The active coherence field designates a structured space where several elements may act together without contradiction. This field is not empty. It is already organized by active coherence. It becomes the place where several functions simultaneously find their place. Within this field then appears the distributive center. The distributive center preserves its central stability while distributing its influence. It does not divide itself. It distributes. This distinction is fundamental. A center that fragments ceases to be center. A distributive center remains center while making several directions possible. This distribution then opens the way toward a higher level, the higher order of transmission. At this stage, transmission is no longer linear. It passes through several structured relays. The higher order of transmission already supposes a hierarchy of coherence. Structure becomes capable of transmitting through several layers without losing itself. Then appears what the corpus mater names expansive stabilization. This term designates a stability capable of extending without losing its internal quality. Expansion no longer weakens stability, it confirms it. Finally, this sequence leads to the first durable framework. The durable framework designates the first relational fabric capable of supporting several simultaneous developments. It becomes the discrete support of every expanded architecture. A durable framework means future transmissions now possess a stable foundation,